Thank you. I want to minister to you this morning on this subject. Where the word of a king is, there is power. There is power. Monday morning we ministered on, you remember, there's a miracle in the making. My first point was trust in his promise. All right, we're going to deal this morning with the word of a king. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Church, if there's something we need to do so desperately, is get back in the word and back in the altar. Those two things we need to do. Back in the word and back in the altar. 9 times in Genesis chapter 1, it reads, "And God said." That thrills me this morning. "And God said." Where the word of a king is, there is power. I related to you yesterday, and I'm going to repeat or reiterate this morning. The foundation of my faith is not built on emotion, experience. It's not built on guesswork. It's not built on musing. But the foundation of my faith this morning is built on the infallible, inspired, immutable, living word of Almighty God. That's where my faith lies this morning. And we've got to get it in our spirit. God, where your word is, there is power. What the word of a king is. Honey, when Pharaoh spoke, Joseph was elevated in the kingdom. When Saul spoke, Amalek was slain. When Solomon spoke, the temple was built. When Ahab spoke, Naboth's vineyard was seized. When Darius spoke, Daniel went into a lion's den. When Nebuchadnezzar spoke, the 3 Hebrew children were in a fiery furnace. When Herod spoke, John the Baptist was beheaded. But honey, one day, our king spoke, the Almighty God. And when he spoke, there was creation, incarnation, restoration, justification, glorification, and salvation. Where the word of a king is, there is power. 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 Something is going to happen when our king speaks. As we get it in our spirit. When they dedicated the temple and the priest pulled away the staves of the holy box, the Ark of the Covenant, the holy box had been plundered. Out of that box had been taken Aaron's rod that budded, representing authority. Out of that box had been taken the golden pot of manna, representing provision. The only thing left in that box was the 2 tables of stone given to Moses by God. But the word was enough to cause the glory to fill the temple. And the priests were not able to minister. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Something is going to happen. Folks, in the beginning was the Word. Before there was a mountain or a man to climb it, there was the Word. Oh, before the fowl flew or the fish swam, there was the Word. Before the galaxies were above us and the green grass beneath us, there was the Word. Before there was ever a blossom on a flower, a bloom on a rose, there was the Word. As we get it in our spirit, this Word has been penned by kings on a throne, on the walls of caves. It's been penned by shepherd boys on a hillside. Oh, folks, the Word, where the Word of a king is, there is power. Something is going to happen. This word is not just for preaching. It's for believing. Made so real to us. Our son was 6 years old, burning up with a high fever. He would go convulsions many times. We'd have to have him packed in ice, take him to the hospital. This particular day, his fever was 106. We knew that was dangerous. We had done all we knew to do, and we were planning and getting ready, preparing to take him to the hospital. He called to his father from the back bedroom, said, "Dad, I need you to come back here for just a few minutes." We both rushed back there, not knowing what we would find. When we arrived in that bedroom, he looked up at his dad with those feverish eyes. And he said these words, "Dad, I've heard you preach I am the Lord that healeth thee. Church, I want this in our spirit today. Dad, I've heard you preach, by his stripes we're healed. Now, I need to know something. Is the word just for preaching or is it for believing? My husband looked at our son. He said, son, it's for both. It's for preaching so you might believe. He said, all right, I'm tired of being sick. You and mom get the oil and anoint me one more time. But now, Dad, you just do the praying. Let me do the believing. I think they thought it was a little short-circuited in that area. I'll just do the believing. You do the praying. When we laid our hands upon our son's forehead and began to anoint him, he began to break out in a sweat. That fever had broken. He said, Mom, I'm hungry. He got down on the floor and began to play. By the time I got back there with a bowl of soup, honey, he was well. He's now 31 years old and never had another fever attack from that day forward. What happened? He got a hold of the word of a king and said, it's not just for preaching, but it's for believing. It's for me, and I'm going to get a hold of it and let it do something in my spirit and in my heart. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Something is going to happen. I came today to share with you the forever settled holy word of Almighty God. But there's one preeminent figure in every book of this Bible, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Honey, you can see him as Isaac the Lamb. You can see him as Adam, head of the human race. You can see him as Aaron, God's high priest. You can see him as Melchizedek, the eternal high priest. You can see him as a serpent for healing in the wilderness. You can see him as manna from heaven. You can see him as water from a rock. You can see him as the tabernacle in the wilderness. You can see him as fire by night and a cloud by day. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and he can be found in every book of this Bible. I would go through it all this morning if I had time, but I won't do it. I'll just start out. In Genesis, he's the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the fire by night. And I can finish it up, but I need to go on preaching. Amen? But I just want to give you an example. Every book of this Bible, you can find him. You can find him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Church, what man makes, man can destroy. Man has never been able to destroy this precious word. You know one reason why I believe this is the word of God? Men would have never written standards this high for themselves. We wouldn't have done it. Our associate pastor, driving our church bus, Pastor John, did not make it off. The state medical examiner brought Pastor John's Bible to his widow. And he said, Miss Pierman, I don't know how to explain this to you, but everything that did not get off of that church bus is burned to a crisp. Except your husband's Bible. Laying on the floor next to the seat where he was driving. And he opened it up and he said, ma'am, it doesn't even have the smell of smoke on it. She opened it up. He was going to preach for my husband the following morning. Had his notes in there. And he was going to preach on heaven. He didn't have to preach it. He was already enjoying heaven when that time came. What man makes, man can destroy. Man has never been able to destroy this word of God. You know, this book will get anybody's attention. You can read any other book you want to, and they'll never look at you twice. But you begin to read the word of God, and they'll take a double take. I fly a lot. Used to like to fly. Until the 9/11 incident. The first flight I got on after that, kept looking back. Finally walked down the jetway. Looked back one more time, and the last word I saw was terminal. Was on a Delta flight. Looked at that word Delta. Don't even leave the airport. flying from St. Louis to Little Rock. Flight attendant gives a safety instruction. She says, now should we need to land over the ocean? Your seat will become a flotation device. I looked at the gentleman next to me and said, sir, this is not going to be a direct flight. Sitting there reading the word, waiting for us to take off one time, sitting by the window seat, gentleman came walking down the aisle. He said, ma'am, is this seat saved? I said, no, sir, but I am. Sit down, let me tell you about it. And he walked on. I don't know why. I started to holler back and say it's not even under conviction, but but this book will get anyone's attention. The Word of Almighty God. There was a philosopher in the 17th century that made a statement by the name of Voltaire. Mr. Voltaire made this statement. He said, 50 years after I'm gone, the Bible will never be heard from again. Honey, 250-something years past deadline, Brother Wood, and I'm a-preaching from it still. Amen? Mr. Voltaire would turn over in his grave if he realized in 1950 the World Bible Society purchased his old home in Paris, France. Brother Randy turned it into a Bible printing press. Amen? Oh, where the word of a king is, there is power. Folks, this is a wonderful book for devotion, but it's not just for devotion. It's for getting into the word and say, God, I believe. Believe what your word says. I'm going to stand on the word. And God, here's what you said. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will supply all of your needs. You said my family could be saved. God, I'm going to stand on the word of Almighty God. Not just for preaching, but it's for believing as I get it in my spirit and let it take root in my heart in a fresh way. For the word of a king is, there is power. Number two, where the word of a king is, there's promise. How many knows there's many promises in this wonderful book? There's promise. God's word is not bound by time or circumstances. Not bound by time or circumstances. God promised Abraham and Sarah a child. It didn't happen the next 9 months. Time marched on. But how many knows it happened? When God makes you a promise, honey, you can take it to the bank. Hold on to it. God said to Joseph, you're going to return to the homeland one day. He didn't return the next day. But he said, I'm going to return, and when Egypt come by here, pick up my bones. We're leaving in a hurry. And I want my bones buried in the homeland. Honey, those bones crossed the Red Sea. They carried those bones for 40 years. They probably said, whose day is it to pack the bones? Somebody had to. Those bones crossed the Jordan River and they were buried in the homeland. Why? God's word is not bound by time. God said to Noah, it's going to rain. It didn't start the next day. Noah preached 120 years, had seven people saved. Send that to the Pentecostal evangel. Revival report. May not make it, but it made heaven's hall of faith. Amen? Why? God's word is not bound by time. And we need to get that in our spirit. Where the word of a king is, there is power. God's word is not bound by circumstances. When God makes you a promise from the word in your heart, you can say, God, I'm going to hold on to that. Your word, whatever the circumstances may be, your word is not bound by circumstances. It didn't matter how many barrels of water that Elijah poured on that sacrifice. How many knows fire was still coming from heaven? God's word is not bound by the circumstances. We get our eyes on circumstances and we will get depressed. But if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, on the word of Almighty God, God will begin to do a work in our hearts, in our lives, and in our spirits in a fresh and a real way. God, allow this word to take root in my heart once again in a fresh way and say, God, here's what the word says. And I'm believing the word. of Almighty God. God's word, not bound by circumstances. Oh, Elisha had so many miracles in his life, he thought it was through. He thought it was over. He died. God's word's not bound by circumstances. But one day, there were some friends on their way to bury their buddy. And they saw the enemy coming. They got afraid. They took this buddy, dirt hole they could find. Happened to be the grave of old prophet Elisha. And when those bones, or that corpse hit the bones of that old prophet, honey, he turned over in his grave and he said, well, glory, there's another miracle. Amen. God's word is not bound by circumstances. And we allow our circumstances to affect how we feel and what's going on in our life. When I married, I weighed 69 pounds. I looked like death chewing on crackers. I looked bad. My wedding dress was a size 0, and they had to alter it. And this precious man took me. He was a little bit larger than me. Somebody said to me one day, why'd you marry a fellow that size as small as you are? It was the beginning of the energy crisis. And I said, he'll be warm in the winter and a shade in the summer. Proven true. He's a wonderful man. You know he has to be to live with me. And you know how submissive I am. We're getting ready to find out in about 3 weeks how submissive I am. I was eaten up with ulcers of the stomach. There was no part of my stomach they could remove because every part had been affected by the ulcers. The problem was this: I stayed with my mother in a nursing home. She died at the age of 50. So I lived in the nursing home with her for 2 years, from the age of 21 to the age of 23, and worked 8 hours a day. So the distress of it developed, caused me to have ulcers. God made me a promise one day, and he said, I'm going to heal you. He didn't heal me that day, but he said, one day I'm going to heal you. 3 years after we married, I lived on milk and Maalox. Milk 1 hour and Maalox the next. Carried our son. That was my diet, milk and Maalox. Now, he's very light-complected, almost chalky looking. One Sunday evening, we were pastoring in Tennessee. My husband was walking across the front preaching. Stopped in the center aisle, and he said, God wants to work a miracle for someone right now. Who is it? Folks, isn't it wonderful when God does that? Who is it? I knew my circumstances. I knew they had told me I'd never be any better. I would hemorrhage many times with these ulcers. They told me they couldn't do anything for me. I knew the circumstances. I saw the color drain from my husband's face. Oh, no. My wife. And I wanted a miracle. And I prayed for her time and time again. It don't take. Now, he didn't say that. But you, if you've lived with anybody very long, you can look at them and tell what they're thinking. I can tell you what he's thinking now, but I won't. Being the kind gentleman that he is, he said, church, I want you to gather around and help me pray for my wife. He said to a lady there, I want you to put your hand in the pit of my wife's stomach. When that lady touched my stomach, it felt like fire was burning my stomach up. I knew that God had done a work. The next day was Monday, which usually followed Sunday, and it did that week too. I was fixing beans and cornbread for my husband. He loves beans and cornbread. Red tomato ketchup, green tomato relish, and onion. That's the way I like it, all mixed up together. Fine food. I thought, these are smelling so good, I wished I could eat them. And the Lord said, you can. I've healed you. Didn't matter about the circumstance. Honey, I took that old onion, picked it up and looked at it. And I said over the teeth and through the gums, watch out, stomach, here she comes. Cut that onion up, put it in my beans and cornbread. Never felt the effects of that or anything since. I can eat like a goat today. I can eat anything that doesn't try to eat me first. Amen. Oh, I've had x-rays made, and the doctor said, who told you you had ulcers? I said, there is a doctor 10 miles down the road that has all my records. He said, Miss Tennyson, I'm not disputing your word, but anytime you've ever had ulcers, it leaves the scars, and this x-ray show you have a brand new stomach. There's not a scar one on your stomach. Honey, where the word of a king is, there is promise. And God's word is not bound by time or circumstance. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what it looks like. If God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, that's what the word means. If God says, I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory, that's what the word means. As we get it in our spirit in a fresh way. When married, we went to a little church in West Kentucky to pastor. Arlington Assembly of God. The first summer we were there, we lived on okra for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We had okra, fried okra. Now, I still like okra. I like that fried kind. I don't like the slick kind. Somebody said to me one day, you like snails? I said, no, I like fast food. One day, we didn't have okra. We didn't have any meal, eggs to make batter. Didn't have anything in the house to eat. And any of you that's been in the ministry have been through those times. But I want to tell you, folks, they're precious times. They're precious times. There's not anything that's done any more for my faith than to marry this poor preacher. It's really helped my faith. I'm serious. I appreciate those times. Folks, it's when we have to depend on God. My husband called me. He was out making calls, and he said, honey, what are we having for dinner? And I said, I don't know yet. I didn't want to tell him we didn't have anything. When I hung that phone up, I took my Bible. And I said, God, your word says, you'll supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. We don't have anything in the house to eat. But I asked you before my husband gets home that there be some food in this house. The Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, I want you to set the table as pretty as you've ever set it. I got up, put my china, my crystal, and my silver on the table. The girls at the telephone company, when I left, bought my china and my crystal for me. My mother had given me her silver. I set it on the table, put a little candle on the table. Just as I finished setting the table, phone rang. Young man said, Sister Tennyson, this is Buddy Peary. What are you having for dinner? I said, I don't know yet, Buddy. He said, well, don't cook anything. Well, I wasn't rushing into anything. He said, I've just baked a turkey. I've got dressing, mashed potatoes, cranberry salad, green beans, corn, homemade rolls, pumpkin pie, and I'm on my way. Honey, I hung up that phone, and you know what I did? I had me a Pentecostal spell all over the house. How many knows what a Pentecostal spell is? How long's it been since you had one? Amen. Oh, it was... was a small parsonage, and it took me a while to get it out of my spirit, Brother Salih, but I had me a Pentecostal spell all over the house. You know what had happened? As I said, God, here is the circumstances, but your word is not bound by circumstances, and I'm going to hold on until I believe there's going to be something on this table. When my husband got home, he said, "Where did this come from?" I said, "God has sent this our way today." Folks, once again, let's get back to the place where we say, "God, your word says there is promise in your word, and I'm going to hold on to the word of Almighty God. Where the word of a king is, there is power." Power. Promise. I read to you. It reads, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Honey, I'm not in heaven. I'm on the earth. So what do I do about that? I settle on the earth what's already been settled in heaven. I settle it. It's for me. Jesus said, "Be filled with the Spirit. Tarry for the promise of the Father." But in the next breath, he said, "Go in Jerusalem and begin to seek." It's already settled in heaven, but you go settle it on the earth. Oh, Elijah said to the king, "It's going to rain." But in the next verse, we find him climbing up Mount Carmel to pray for rain. What's he doing? He's going to settle on earth what's already been settled in heaven. Folks, salvation is for me, but I had to settle it on earth that it was for me. Healing is for me, but I had to settle on earth that it's for me. God will supply all of my needs. It's for me, but I had to settle that on earth that it's for me. There's too much difference in expectation and experience. There's too much difference in promise and performance. There's too much difference in what we read and reality. God, let me get this in my spirit and in my heart in a fresh way. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Where the word of a king is, there is promise. Number three, where the word of a king is, there is performance. Something's going to happen. Jesus said to Peter, "Let down the net one more time." Peter said, "There's not any fish out there." Honey, there wasn't, but there's a headed that way. Now, Peter, did he say, "Nevertheless, because of my faith, nevertheless, because I'm inspired, nevertheless, because of my hope"? Nope. What'd he say? "Nevertheless, at thy word." Folks, in the absence of faith, hope, and inspiration, he let down the net. We feel like we have to have so much faith, so much hope, and so much inspiration. He simply said, "Nevertheless, at thy word." That's all he said. And when he did that, they enclosed so many fish, they had to call for help. Now I want you to hear what I'm about to say. When you align yourself with the word, you put yourself in harmony with heaven. When you align yourself with the word, you put yourself in harmony with heaven. In the absence of faith, hope, and inspiration, say, "God, your word says." I may not have much faith in this area. May not have much hope. May not be inspired. But your word says, and I'm going to stand on the word of Almighty God. I'm simply holding on to the word. That's all I have, but I'm going to hold on to it. And honey, it's enough. Amen? It's enough. As you begin to hold on and get a hold of it, let it take heart. Let it take root in your spirit. And say, "God, I'm believing you." As you begin to speak to my heart through your word, by your power, I'm believing that the word of a king has power. It has promise, and there will be performance as I begin to let the word begin to do something in my life. God, I want to let it do it in my heart and in my life in a fresh way. Where the word of a king is, there is power, there is promise, and there's performance. Remember when the angel said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, "You're going to become the mother of the Son." He said, "Be it unto me according to my faith." it unto me because I'm inspired. Be it unto me because I have hope. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. That's all. That's all. Folks, God wants to speak to our hearts today in a fresh way. Remember when she said, when they ran out of wine at the wedding, the mother Mary said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Get a hold of the word. Get a hold of the word. I want this in our spirit in a greater way. My father, wonderful man of God, taught us three children the word of God 1 hour every day. From 8 to 9, he taught us the word in the evening. 1 hour every day we received the word. Folks, what difference our homes would be in, different homes would have, if the fathers would take that responsibility once again to teach the word to their children. To make a difference. 2 hours before he died, standing over his bed, holding his hand, he looked up at me and he said, sis, I'm not going to leave you and your brothers a lot of this world's goods, but the word I've put into you is an inheritance and a heritage that money cannot buy. He said, remember this, $1 million and a bale of hay are all the same on judgment day. They're both going to burn. But the word I've put into you, you can live by and you can die by. And he said, I'm getting ready to experience it. Years later, he looked up at me and he said, goodbye. Brother Crabtree, he waved his hand and was ushered into the presence of Almighty God. But he left me the word. Oh, that I still stand on the day. And we need to say, God, once again, let this word begin to take root in my heart. And let me take it that it's for me. Honey, this word is a hammer to convict. It's a fire to refine. It's a labor to cleanse. It's a seed to multiply. Oh, it's a lamp to guide. It's a mirror to reflect. It's rain to refresh. It's power to create faith. It's food for nourishment. Oh, it's bread for the hungry. It's milk for the babe. It's meat for the man. It's honey for dessert. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and pass it on. It's the word of Almighty God. Hallelujah. That needs to get in our spirit and in our heart in a fresh and a real way. Oh, hallelujah. God, let me get a hold of the word once again and let it take root in my heart. Where the word of a king is, there is power, there is promise, and there's performance. Something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. As I began to say, God, I'm going to trust in your promise, and I'm going to get a hold of this word. Well, let this word get in my spirit. I'm going to close with this testimony. I was doing a retreat in South Texas. A retired missionary, precious lady, 85 years old, said she had a lady in her church that had been saved many years. At the age of 18, her only child, a boy, left home because he did not want his mother's God. Every day, that mother prayed for that son. Every day. Read the word, stood on the word. One morning she was praying and she said, God, I've been praying for my son for over 20 years. I believe in your word. I see the circumstances, but I don't want to be discouraged by the circumstances. And the Lord spoke to her heart and said these words, you bake a fresh loaf of bread every day for yourself. Would you bake 2 loaves of bread beginning tomorrow for a year? Set the second loaf out on a wall by the house. And she said, I'll do it, God. Don't know what that has to do with my son, but I'll obey you. Folks, our secret is when God speaks through the word is to begin to obey. She did that for a year. She noticed every morning this older gentleman came by,
picked that loaf of bread off the wall. Never said a word to her. Never came to the house. Never said thank you or anything. After the year had passed, praying one morning, and she said, God, I've done this for a year. Nothing has happened. And he said, do it one more day. She did. Noon that day, knock on the door. She went to a door, went to her door. And there stood a gentleman in his early 40s. She said, can I help you? And he said, Mother, you don't recognize me, do you? I'm your son. He said, I've lost my family, lost my job, been living in a tent outside of town. And the only thing I've had to eat for a year is a loaf of bread brought to me every morning by some elderly gentleman. Never told me his name, would just lay the bread at the tent door and leave. That's all I've had to eat for a year. Mother, I've made a decision. I want your God. She invited him in, led him to the Lord, and he finished living his life with her. As long as she lived, he was still living there with her. But what am I saying this morning? A mother said, God, the circumstances are not favorable at all. But your word says, and folks, his word is authority. Get that in your spirit. His word is final authority. And I want us this morning, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, say, God, have I taken this word seriously and realized that it's for me? Where the word of a king is, there is power, there is promise, and there's performance. Something's going to happen. Even today, as you begin to take him at his word and say, God, it's for me. It's for me. I'm going to settle on earth today what's already been settled in heaven. I'm going to settle it on earth.